good evening. Good evening. This is Noreen Sumter on Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. I'm all discombobulated. It is Tuesday. I'm distracted. And it is raining outside. And I'm here. And I'm excited to be here because tonight we're going to have a really good show. But first of all, I just want to say Happy Mother's Day for people on Sunday, because I will totally forget that, because my mother's not here and they had Mother's Day, I think a couple of weeks early in England. And my mother is incapacitated. She has Alzheimer's and is in a nursing home in England and wouldn't know what day it was anyway. But she's my mother, and she's my mother with Alzheimer's, and, you know, you just kind of deal with it. So what have I been up to? I had a really bad experience last week, and what it showed me was that I practice what I preach. You know, I practice what I teach, building confidence, self-esteem, owning my voice, speaking my truth, really stepping into when I see something is not appropriate for me, really calling it to my attention, and then reaching out to the people that needs to be done. And sometimes I bump up against people who just, you know, rather than accepting that what you say to them, if it's, they can't hear you, you know, they don't hear you and they don't listen. They listen to themselves. They make their own opinions and judgments. They step over what you have to say. They make you wrong. But what I've learned from myself over the years of doing the work, doing my work, doing my business, is that I don't have to react and get upset, right? But I can also just stand in what I believe and have a B plan in, like, if I can't get if I can't get a response that's going to move this thing forward, then I'm going to go, I have to be courageous enough to go to the people that can make this happen and really stand in it. And you'll see when people are just not being sloppy or they're not doing the work, they'll start to backpedal when they realize that you are really committed to what you're saying you're going to do. And then they'll try to blame other people, won't take responsibility. But at the end of the day, like, when they know that because you make it kind of clear that I made it clear that I was going to take steps. This person went to the people, the powers that be, so to speak, had a conversation with them, came back to me. She refused to eat crow, right? She refused to eat the crow, but she had to make a change. I'm not going to talk about what it was, but what I feel is like really stepping into that, like owning my voice and speaking my truth and living life my way. It's really important. And, you know, if I was 20 years old, you could step over and say, oh, I got over. But I'm not 20 years old and I can't step over stuff and say I got over. And I have to call myself into being, thus call the other person into being. And I really am in gratitude for who I'm becoming in my life. You know, so on that note, we are going to have a conversation about one of the subjects that if you are a regular listener to this show, you hear me say things like, oh my God, I'm sweating like a dog, or, oh, I'm so hot. You'll hear me say these things all the time. My sister in England, shout out to Shula, is always saying to me, nobody wants to know how hot you are. And nobody wants to know that you're sweating like a dog, right? So just get over it. Well, tonight I can take sweating like a dog to the extremes because I have with me Dr. Christian Siebert. Did I do it right? And as you all know, I always mess up people's names, right? And so she is a doctor of Chinese medicine, holistic practitioner, and also an acupuncturist who is like fully trained, very well trained, very smart lady. And we're going to talk about menopause tonight, one of my not so favorite subjects, but, you know, it is a part of my life. So welcome to the show.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Noreen. It's a pleasure to be here.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm really excited. Just getting the microphone, right? Great. Thank you, Sam.
So
Yeah, I, when I first met you last year, I remember vividly how...
sweaty?
Not just how sweaty you were, but you told me how this all had really caught you by surprise,
oh,
you know.
God, what?
And so we had a lovely conversation then and came up with the idea to really bring this to your radio audience.
Absolutely.
And so I just wanted to kind of actually... Have you started telling us what your experience
right.
was?
But first, I want you to just give us a little background because you know you got that big old accent, right? People
are
going to,
yeah.
Where is she from? Like, what is she about? Like, so I want you to share a little bit about you, where are you from? You know, what was your history? How did you get into this medicine? You know, like, how did you get into this practice? Was this something that was innate to you? It was an interest or, you know, how did you do it? And so just give us a little bit of background.
Yeah, you know, I actually always had a very strong interest in the healing arts, even as a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
But I was not really all that intrigued with conventional medicine at the time when I had to make a decision about, you know, where I would go in terms of studying mm-hmm. and pursuing a profession. At the same time, I was also... performing a lot as a musician, as mm-hmm. a jazz musician.
Mm-hmm.
And so I eventually made the decision, you know, I leave medical school to my sister, which is what she did.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to music conservatory and became a jazz musician, mm-hmm. which is also what brought me to the United States about mm-hmm. 30 years ago
from
Germany.
Right, cool.
Yeah, so I came here to go to grad school and eventually work as a professional musician in mm-hmm. New York City. What really...
I'm having a moment right now, but it's a
yeah.
cold one.
It what really got me interested in Chinese medicine in particular was after 9/11, you know, I realized I really wanted to work with people
mm-hmm.
And help them be healthier, live their life to the fullest. And because I had health issues myself at the time, specifically I had pretty severe low back pain
mm-hmm.
and found that acupuncture was just incredibly helpful to get me back on my feet without surgery, without medication. I was just completely blown away by it and really fascinated.
I have a client for you.
And that eventually, you know, made me decide, yeah, that's what I want to do. You
right.
know, sticking needles in people, that's really cool stuff.
And voodoo is not included.
Yeah, exactly. And little did I know, you know, how complex Chinese medicine is.
Uh-huh.
I eventually also started, you know, studying not just acupuncture, but also herbal medicine,
mm-hmm.
which is a huge part of Chinese medicine, and which is, you know, in terms of our subject for tonight, really where the money is, in
right.
my opinion. So Chinese herbal therapy is really incredibly powerful and effective way for people with menopausal symptoms to find
mm-hmm.
relief. And we can talk about that, of course,
right.
a little bit more in detail.
Cool. I think that, you know, you said herbal medicine, but don't you think, doesn't every culture experience use of herbal medicine?
That's right on. That's very true. And of course, you know, in different parts of the world, different plants grow and animals live, which are also sometimes included in herbal medicine, but primarily it's, of course, botanicals. So each, you know, culture has has its own tradition and... I think nowadays it's recognized that probably the most sophisticated herbal tradition is the one in China
right.
and surrounding countries. I think Ayurveda in India is a close second. And then also herbal traditions in other parts of the world, and especially where I'm from in Germany, you know, we also have a very strong history and tradition of naturopathic medicine
right.
that
yeah.
includes botanicals and also homeopathy, of course. But other countries, including North America, you know, Native American culture, for example, also has a very strong herbal tradition.
Right, and African cultures
African
and Caribbean
cultures. And also South America,
yeah.
even, you know, Australia has...
Well, they have
yeah.
the indigenous Aboriginal.
Exactly. And
right.
because that part of the world was separated from the rest, you know, of the continents very early on, they actually have a lot of plants that don't exist anywhere else.
Right.
A good example is tea tree.
Right.
You know, everyone's familiar with tea tree oil. Obviously, you don't find that anywhere else.
And oh, it only grows in Australia?
Yeah.
Unless it's grown in some bootleg kind of,
right.
you know,
yeah, yeah.
what do you call it? Hothouse.
Yeah. So along those lines, you know, also I think it's important to know that obviously, you know, humanity's been around for a long time and each
right.
of these cultures has also been confronted with what women go through
right.
in midlife and have found different ways to deal with that.
Right. More so than pharma.
Well, pharma has only been around for a very short period of time.
Right.
But almost every traditional culture has found other ways to make women comfortable during the transition and, you know, support the health of people as they age, you know, and...
I'm aging!
Yeah, we're aging. Oh my God. We're all aging!
But you know what? We're aging from the day we're born. So, yeah, like, it's just... Exactly. It just starts to accumulate as we get, like, higher in the numbers. So, okay. So, ask me some questions.
So, tell me a little bit, Noreen, since, you know, I remember our conversation last year, and I thought it would be a great way into the subject if we actually started with your own experience.
So... It's been going on about 2 years now, right? Mm-hmm. So the first experience that I had was, you know, I've always been like a person that sweated at night. So I'm like, I've always been hot at night. You know, I remember my ex-husband used to say to me, get away from me. Like, you know, in the summertime, he'd be like, get off of me, you're hot. And in the wintertime, he'd be all snuggled up under me because I was like really hot. And so I never really paid any of that stuff any mind because that was normal. So one night, I just like one night, I'm in bed and I'm just profoundly hot and I'm sweating like a banshee. And I'm kicking the covers off and I'm putting them on. I'm kicking them off and putting them on. And I'm like, what the? Finally, I was sweating so bad, I jumped out of bed like somebody was chasing me. And I started walking around the living room and going, what the hell is wrong with me? What the hell is wrong with me? Something is wrong. Something is wrong. Am I sick? Do I need to go to the hospital? Because I was sweating. I was burning up. Then it was like this little whisper. Hmm. Maybe you're going through menopause. Right? And I was like, oh, I can. If it's menopause, I can deal with that. It's not a big deal. And that's how it started.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that you also told me that it kind of caught you by surprise, yes. You know, and I think this is something I really want to bring up tonight, is that most of us, you know, we don't know what's coming our way, you know, unless you happen to go to medical school and learn all about it, you know, most of us.
Or you have women that talk about it, right?
Yeah.
Like women and elders that talk about it. It hit me like... I didn't know what to do with this thing. I didn't know what this thing was. I didn't know, you know, I've heard about it, but I heard about it in ways like this, my own personal summers.
Right.
Ugh, I'm getting a flash, right? Things like that. And, but never like somebody talking about it honestly.
Yeah, it's like there's that stigma, you know, attached to it. And I wonder why that is. I mean, obviously, you know, it could be that,
it's age.
That, you know, we're aging and people are concerned
people
about...
People have it that we're losing our sexy.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
We're going to have to hold that thought and we'll be right back.
Sounds good.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Who do you want to connect with?
Are you an entrepreneur or intrapreneur looking to build your following?
Welcome to our show.
Follow Me Friday with Joan
and Priya.
Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern
on talkradio.nyc.
We're your digital connectors.
Woo! Woo!
What's that?
Talking Alternative Radio. 24 hours a day.
So we're back on Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. And tonight we're having menopause stories and symptoms and all of the things that help us to change and transform as women. And I'm speaking to Dr. Christiane Siebert, who is a natural homeopathic, she'll tell you. So she's an acupuncturist, a homeopathic doctor, a herbal Chinese medicine. She's a lot of things.
Yeah.
She does a lot of stuff. So we were talking on the break and saying that why women would want to avoid and not share this valuable, I think, information with younger women. It's like a rite of passage. Help us to go through that rites of passage.
Right. I think actually, you know, we have sex education.
Oh, do we? In America?
Sometimes in school, you know, middle school, high school.
We do?
The purpose of which is mostly to prevent the kids from getting pregnant too early, right? Abstinence. And then we get a little bit more information from our doctors around pregnancy sometimes, you
we
know,
do?
And, you know, dealing with babies. But after that, it's sort of, there's like this quiet, you know, this blanket over things. And I really want to pull this blanket away and sort of bring our experiences.
Is it like that in Europe?
To some extent, yeah. I think it's more so here in the US.
Mm-hmm.
But let's change that tonight, you know. Let's pull the curtains open, you know.
I'm pulling my curtains wide open.
Bring menopause out of the shadows and talk about
it. Let's bring Menno out. I call it pausies. Let's bring Menno. She wants to talk to us. So
what
are some of the symptoms that I have discovered in the last 2 years of like battling this thing? It was like literally people say, oh, you have a period. You have a period, miss a period. You have a period, miss a period. Well, it was like me. No period, no period, no period, period. No period, no period, no period, no period, no period, period. And what I discovered inside of having a period was that once I had a period, I got 3 months relief of no sweating.
Mm-hmm.
It was great. And then my girlfriend said to me, oh, don't worry about it. It's going to come back again. And I was like, no, it's not. She said, yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it came back with a double dose.
Yeah. So what happens is that in your 40s, usually you're well orchestrated.
This happened at 54.
Hormones. Well, it's for many women, it already starts in their 40s,
you know.
So your hormones that usually are like a, you know, well-conducted orchestra start getting, you know, a little out of
sync.
You know, it's sort of like the string section's going one way, the horn section's going another way. Sometimes they come together, play a little bit, and then they go off their own ways again and create sort of this, you know, you don't know what's coming. You know, you might have a regular cycle. You might have a short cycle, a long cycle. Sometimes, you know, your menses is heavier. Sometimes it's lighter. So it becomes more and more unpredictable. And then you start experiencing, you know, a whole range of changes in your body.
Mm-hmm.
You already mentioned, you know, hot flashes and night sweats.
What else have you? I mean, I've always had dry skin, but my skin is drier.
Yeah.
I feel like I've lost my plump.
Yeah, the skin gets thinner. You start and as a result of it, you also start noticing wrinkles more.
Yeah, I do it when I go like this. I notice them. But for me, my sister, I love her, but she's a cow, right? So I'm at, and I mean that with all love, moo. And so I'm at the house, and I'm sitting on the bed, and I notice my sister looking at me. She's looking at me, right? I'm like this way, and she's looking at me. She says, do you realize you've got like fine lines? I'm like, yeah, I've noticed I have fine lines, right? I said, that is the menopause. I've got fine lines and I've got this thing down here. Like, I feel like this area of my face due to menopause and all the changes, I'm getting a jowl, right? Like I call it a pelican brief. And then this area under here and my skin, even though it has good bounce back, it doesn't have brilliant bounce back like it used to have two years ago.
Yeah, and you also see it in other areas of your body. You know, mm-hmm. there is often weight redistribution. You know, you used to have like a more pear-shaped body.
No, I didn't. I was plumpy and I was like a sausage.
You know, a lot of women experience that, though. And then you develop a little bit more of a belly. You know, you develop more of an apple shape.
Right.
So that's also in part due to the hormones, to the hormonal changes, you know, right. associated with the menopause.
What else? I've noticed my legs are not as like firm and tight. I noticed that like one of the things that I do notice is like if I bang myself, mm-hmm. it takes a little bit longer to like subside and kind of like get rid of the pain.
Yeah. So you bruise actually probably more easily too.
Bruise and I've actually noticed that I'm cutting myself a little bit more. Like, because my skin doesn't have that. It's drier.
Yeah. It's not as resilient. Yeah.
I'm just falling apart at the seams. You know?
Well, you know, I mean, the things we've mentioned so far, except the hot flashes and the night sweats, you could almost say, you know, they're cosmetic things. You know, you can probably eventually sort of deal with them. You can cover them up a little bit, or you just kind of, you know, take a deep breath and live with it. But there are also things that women experience as menopause approaches.
Oh, fuzzy head.
Yeah, like
memory loss.
Your memory really slows down. You somehow don't remember things as well.
The recall is not as sharp as it used to be.
Or like foggy mm-hmm. headedness. You just can't think clearly. Also, a lot of women experience sleep disturbances. I mean, that could be because of the hot flashes, but it could have other reasons. More breast tenderness, and then also just internal things, you know, bladder issues, for example, vaginal dryness.
I don't have that. Well, nobody's told me about that, but I haven't been doing it, so you
yeah. And then, you know, all kinds of other things like joint pain.
Yeah, joint pain.
Hair
I've gotten
thinning.
Oh, I've gotten that part.
Some women also start noticing vision problems, hearing problems. So, you know, all kinds of things can suddenly not be working as they used to.
Oh my God. It's like the more information I'm getting, the more miserable I'm getting.
And, you know, the good news is that not every woman experiences all these.
Right. But I have the memory, like my recall is not as sharp. It's like I have to slow down. Okay, so if I don't remember something, I just say, like, calm down. Don't try to force it. It'll come out of the computer. And then it does. But it might be an hour later. No, I'm kidding. it might be, right? And then I have fuzziness, like fuzzy. I just feel fuzzy.
Right.
You know, you just, I'm just much more, I've always been like hypersensitive to my body, but I'm much more aware of what's taking place, right? Also, I found that that exercise, I read an article one time where this woman, she was talking about she's going through menopause symptoms and she had this like creepy, like webbing, feeling like webbing on her skin. You can get what I'm saying? Like walking through webs, mm-hmm. right? But it felt like it was
like
all
a tingling
over skin,
sensation.
Her skin.
Yeah.
And what she said that she did was she exercised a lot. Mm-hmm. She did a lot of exercise. And what I have found for myself is that I've been exercising I exercise quite frequently, but I used to drop off a lot. But now I'm just much more frequent with the exercise. And I do Pilates, a lot of stretching, a lot of toning, a lot of bending. Because I'm naturally a very stiff person. And I found with menopause, with the joints, you know, in 2 years, I can't imagine what four is going to look like. The joints are a little bit stiffer, right? And then, but what I found is the exercise really, really helps. And for when I went away, I only exercised, I did a lot of walking, but I didn't do my Pilates.
You could tell the difference, right?
And I could tell immediately what was missing. Like I needed to like really do the exercise, because also what I find is that with the exercise, it helps the blood to circulate and then it kind of warms up the body and I'm not as stiff, but I have to do it consistently.
Right. Yeah. That's very important. And I think it's a great time, you know, to get serious about exercising and taking better care of yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing also that I encourage my patients, who are in this age range, in their 40s and 50s, to really pay good attention to what they're experiencing, right. and also talk to their gynecologist mm-hmm. or primary care physician about it, because, you know, it's not always clear that whatever is changing in whatever you're experiencing is necessarily associated with perimenopause, right. But it could be associated with aging, right. A combination, but it could on a rare occasion also be a sign of more serious things,
right.
To develop, such as high cholesterol, hypertension, diabetes, and things.
Can you get diabetes with menopause?
It's definitely a time where more women actually notice these changes. And so, it's important to pay attention to yourself and also discuss these changes,
right.
With your doctor.
And to go to your doctor. I'm for both alternative medicine as well as go to see your primary care, because I think you need to balance the two, right? Because if you learn about the doctor can only give you the baselines, and he can tell you how things are progressing if he has a baseline. But if he doesn't have a baseline, he can't tell you what's progressing. You have to start from scratch. He doesn't have a record of how you're doing.
Exactly.
So even if you go to a homeopathic person such as yourself, a holistic doctor, or even, acupuncture, you don't have a baseline to give to that person, because you need that baseline, do you not?
Yeah, well, actually in Chinese medicine and also in other natural medicine systems, we have our own diagnostic systems. But nowadays, we're usually university trained, we have doctoral degrees, and we take all the Western diagnostics into consideration when we decide, how we want to work with you.
Right.
So we don't really practice in a vacuum. We're practicing integrative medicine nowadays,
Yeah, so that's what I was thinking. So it's really important that we as people go to the doctors. Like, I went to the doctors today, and they stopped giving you, if you don't have HPV, because they give you the pap smears for the HPV, but after a while they say, oh, you didn't need to come back, you make an appointment in 5 years. And I'm like, what? I still need gynecological care,
Yeah, you should definitely still go every year or
every other year. One of the things that I was saying to my doctor, and this is like TMI, but I don't care. It's my show and somebody might need it. It's like, I consider my vagina to be like quite plumpy, right? So what I term it was like, oh, the face is losing plumpy.
Mm.
Vagina's losing plumpy too. So it's really important. I know it sounds funny, but it's really important to get it checked.
Yeah, and make sure that you're healthy.
Yeah.
That's important.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
So we're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
And we're back on Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, and I'm with Dr. Christian Siebert, and we are discussing menopause, or I call it the menopause story, because there's a lot of stories behind it, right? Wouldn't you say?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So as we were saying offline, but we want to make sure that people know that menopause is not a disease.
It sounds like a disease, right?
It's yes.
Like a foreign word.
Sounds like
word.
Many disease.
Yeah, many diseases. No, it's a natural transition. You
right.
know, we all go through it at some point. Most
if
women,
we're lucky,
yeah,
we could die.
If we don't live that long, But it can also occasionally happen that a woman will actually experience menopause much earlier in life because of illness. For example, if a woman gets treated for cancer, it can put her into menopause immediately. Also, the surgical removal of the ovaries
right.
would induce menopause pretty much within a week.
Right. So you can keep the the uterus?
The uterus, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, sorry, you can remove the uterus. Would you go into menopause?
No.
But if you
would no longer have menstrual periods,
right.
You know, but you would still have hormonal fluctuations.
Right. But if you get rid of the ovaries or the ovaries get damaged in some way,
yeah,
then you can flip into menopause.
Yeah, you would go into menopause right away. So that is a common preventive surgery for women who have certain types of breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
That happened to someone I know really well. And so she experienced actually menopause pretty much within a week or so after she had the oophorectomy.
Right. So menopause is not a disease, even though it comes along with a lot of symptoms. It is not a disease. What would you say to like men who are dating and married to women who are going through menopause? Batten down the hatches. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Well, some guys have to batten down the hatches because some women go off the rails.
Right, it's a huge change, and it's not just a physical change. You know, you also experience strong emotions.
Yes, mental,
the way your mind works will change. So, I mean, if I had to say just one thing, you know, talk to each other.
Right.
You know, I mean, reach out to each other, talk to each other, be honest with each other,
right.
And that's a good place to start.
Right,
don't be embarrassed about it.
And for women, you're not losing your sexy.
No, it's going to change. But, I mean, there's no reason why you can't enjoy, you know, an active sex life after menopause.
Because women talk about the dryness. Some women experience profound and severe dryness.
Yeah, so, you know, there are ways you can accommodate that. You know, you may have to be a little more careful about it. Obviously, when you experience more vaginal dryness and the wall of your vagina becomes thinner as mm-hmm. a result of lower estrogen levels.
You lose your plumpy.
Well, but it's also that you are actually at a slightly higher risk for infections.
Right, cuts and stuff and tears.
Yeah, exactly. So you want to be a little bit more careful and mindful about that. But again, you know, it doesn't mean it's over.
Right. You just have to learn to do it in a much more healthier way. Well, you just have to be mindful. Mindful.
Noreen, I would like to know what
I'm getting
things,
a moment. I'm having a sweaty.
What things you actually have tried and found helpful so far to
exercise,
manage the
water,
symptoms, drinking
exercise, water,
just throwing the blankets off.
Yeah, throwing the blankets off. There's an upside and a downside because sometimes it feels okay, sometimes it's okay, and sometimes it's not, right? But what I have learned to deal with it is just being honest about it. Like, I'm not going to stand there and sweat in front of you and have you look at me like, what the hell's going on with her? You know, I'll just tell you, I'm having a moment. I'm sweating. This is menopause. Mm-hmm. I remember when it first started, I was at a meeting at, what's the name? See, this is one of those fuzzy moments. The Russian Tea Room. I was at the Russian Tea Room, and it was the morning, and I was in this meeting with a whole world of men. There were so many men in this room, and I was talking to this guy. And all of a sudden, I felt like a flash come on, and I had to tell him to stop. I went like this, just stop, because I'm like sweating right now. And he goes, are you okay? I says, no, watch and learn, right?
So he said,
what's going on? You're sweating. I said, this is the face of menopause.
Good for you.
Right? And he was like, I said, so watch and learn because this is what your wife is going to go through, right? He goes, can I get you a napkin? One of the things I have noticed is when I'm just like straight about it and playful with it, men will run to get me a napkin.
Or a glass of water.
Or water or something. Or like they'll start fanning me and stuff like that. So it's like really being open and honest about it. And that's
right.
What I found rather. I mean, I could be talking in front of a room of I don't know how many people. I'm like, I'm having a moment. Just give me a moment here because I'm going to start sweating. And it does run. Some people say I can't see it, but like I can feel it. It's there. I'm
right.
Moist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, actually a lot of women also in connection with these hot flashes and sweats, you know, experience anxiety attacks. So
yes.
It can also really impact how well you're actually functioning in the moment. And that can be difficult. You know, you may be in a stressful situation. Sometimes that can even be the trigger
Can I tell you one thing that I've realized what came out of this? So now here's the thing, right? You know, when you're not in menopause and you're in your 30s or 40s and you're not experiencing sweats and stuff like that, you can get up in the morning, and if you're late, you can just throw your clothes on and go. When you're having menopause and you're sweating all night, you cannot get up, get out. You have to get that. You have to take shower, because now I realize what that people used to talk about, that old lady smell. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now I know what they were talking about. You have to bathe a lot. Yeah, no, well, not a lot, but you have to shower,
rinse it off. Yeah,
you have to rinse off last night.
Yeah.
Because it's horrible. That's the first thing I do now. I don't even want to have a conversation. I just want to jump in the shower.
So one thing that I also really want to laud you for is, like, I remember a couple months ago or so, I bumped into you at the local Trader Joe's down the street from both of us. Right. And you were carrying these two big shopping bags of vegetables.
Right.
And, you know, this is one of the things that, I mean, every patient that comes to me with concerns around menopause, right, you know, will have a different story, and we'll work, you know, individually to find ways to support the transition, right, you know. But one thing I think that almost every woman would really benefit from, right, is what you're doing, you know, to just really not only exercise, but also eat healthily,
yeah,
you know. And I think... you know, if you haven't already, you know, earlier, now is a really good time.
Now I know why my mother ate so many vegetables.
Get serious about, you know, kicking your addiction to processed foods, sugars, and what have you, you know, and comfort foods. And really start eating, you know, off the land, you know, eat the rainbow, eat a lot of vegetables, fruit, and, you know, high quality protein. And
that has made a difference. Like the eating, when I don't eat my vegetables, I can feel the difference. It's like a complement of issues. Like, if I don't exercise, I feel stiff. I feel miserable. I've got to exercise. If I don't eat properly, I feel terrible. If I eat too much sugar, I feel really bad. You know.
Yeah, all those foods, you know, if I don't get enough sleep, inflammatory. You know, they create inflammation in your body that makes you feel really crappy.
Right.
So,
and sleep, my newest thing is sleep.
Yeah.
So if I'm not going to any events, or if I'm not doing anything in the evening, I'm in bed by 9:45 now.
Yeah,
because I realize, like, sleep makes a difference.
Totally.
You know, your sleep helps you to maintain your shape and your figure and your health and muscle and all that kind of stuff. So, because we're losing that stuff with menopause,
right?
Firmness and tightness and muscle tone and stuff like that. So sleep has become one of my best friends.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't even work with one single person, or I should say, you know, not a single person's walking out of my office without getting encouragement to do lifestyle medicine.
Right.
You know, look at, you know, how they're living their lives and what things they can tweak, improve. You know, that includes especially food as medicine. You know, that's the foundation. Everything else that I do with them, you know, is on top of eating well.
Yeah,
so
right.
We really have to get the basis straight, you know, and everyone has some different needs. So
don't get me wrong. I pigged out when I went to London. I mean, it was Easter and there was like Easter eggs and I was eating Easter
eggs.
Well,
I always have that, what is it, 80-20 rule or so, you know.
Well, I went kind of nuts in London because I was eating like a 5-year-old. And when I got back, I had to pay for it because I didn't exercise as much as I should have, and I was eating chocolate eggs.
But, you know,
eggs.
I think sometimes it's good to fall off the bandwagon, because then you realize, wow, you know, the changes I make really make a difference in how I feel, and that gives you an extra incentive to get back on.
The pain started kicking in. Or everything started kicking in when I was halfway across in the ocean. I was like, oh, God. And so my pain, like, sort of lives in this.
So you're still recovering
area
right now?
Yeah, I still am, because this morning I was like, wow, I've been working out since I've gotten back, and I feel so much better because I've been doing my exercises and I've been actually stretching a lot. So it really has made a difference.
That's so great to hear, because I always feel, you know, if you realize how much you can actually do for yourself, for your own health, you know, it's so incredibly empowering.
Right.
And that really gives you a leg up during menopause, because if you listen to your body and you start really taking care of yourself, you know, that's half the rent.
I'm doing the best that I can, right? I mean, it's, and I think what the education, you have this book here from the, what's it called? Mayo Clinic, the Menopause Solution.
Yeah, so often, you know, I recommend to women who just want to get a better understanding of what's going on during perimenopause, which is the time leading up to actual menopause.
Right.
I recommend this book by a doctor who is the director of the Mayo Clinic Women's Health Clinic. Her name is Stephanie Fabian, and the book is called The Menopause Solution. To just get the lay of the land, you know, and it has actually a lot of good suggestions for things that you can do yourself, you know, to make yourself more comfortable, to do preventive health care, to eat better, you know, do what you can.
Right.
And also all with the understanding that this is a natural process. And then I like, you know, that she also says, you know, if that is all, you know, all you're doing is not enough, there's help beyond that. You know, there is help from your conventional physician. And then there's also help from many other healthcare providers like myself, you know, who practice Chinese medicine, acupuncture, or naturopathic medicine, or homeopathy, or, you know, many other things. And so the important thing then is for you to decide, you know, what really jibes with you. You know, maybe you're someone who's comfortable with hormone therapy. Maybe you want to try Chinese herbs or massage or acupuncture, you know, and it can be a combination too and bring many benefits.
So I want to ask you a question about, because when we're losing estrogen, we're losing testosterone, these things are being decreased, right?
Right.
And I was listening to a doctor on, I like this guy, on YouTube, and he says that we have to get adrenal support to help to build up the adrenals so that we can help to balance out all these other things. What do you say about that?
Well, the adrenals are obviously a very important player in our endocrine system or hormone system. And we are aware of the adrenals primarily because they wear out, you know, this is a very informal way of describing
this. this is a layman's way of describing it.
And so especially with our lifestyle, you know, the stress we're experiencing, the long hours we're working, living in a noisy, dirty city, you know, with a lot of people around
us. Don't talk about New York like
that.
No, I'm kidding.
That we can trust, you know, it creates a constant stress level that really taxes our adrenals. And these hormones all influence everything else that's going on in the body, including our reproductive system, but also our insulin production.
Right.
And our thyroid. So yes, it's true that we really want to take good care of our adrenals. I don't know that I would use that same word to bring them up, but supporting them
support
is maybe
them.
How.
Yeah,
I,
that's
and
what I'm talking
you know,
about.
There are different ways to do that. A Western doctor would do it differently from how I would do it as a Chinese doctor.
Right. Yeah. And there's all these. Okay, we're going to take a break. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back because I just thought of something. So we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
The best designs for your life start at home. I'm David Thiergartner, interior designer and host of At Home. Listen live Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Time as we talk to the very best professionals about interior design and the design that's all around us right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
TalkingAlternative.com.
So we're back on Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, and I'm speaking to Dr. Christine Siebert. And I want to know about, I've tried lots of things, right? So I've tried CBD oil, CBD gummy bears, hemp, lots of things. I've tried acupuncture, but I wasn't consistent with that. Mm-hmm. I was consistent with it when I had a back pain and the lady lived down the street, which was perfect because it was like hop at my house down the street, but then she moved. So tell me a little bit about how acupuncture, because I do have friends that swear by it.
Right. Work. Yeah, certainly, as you mentioned, you know, one of the big challenges with acupuncture is access. So, you know, because it takes time, you know, you're not getting a prescription and then you just take it at home.
They actually do in London.
You have to actually go to your acupuncturist, at least I would say once a week, yes. You know, make the time for it. And then it's also the expense of receiving regular acupuncture because it's not a magic bullet. You need to, like you say, you need to stick with it for a while. And actually a lot of women find it helpful to relieve the symptoms of perimenopause, menopause, including hot flashes and night sweating can be reduced. It can also improve sleep quality. Mm-hmm. It can help relieve the, you know, anxiety and depression that some women experience, energy, foggy headedness. So there's a lot of things that women experience in that time frame that can be alleviated with acupuncture.
Right.
People always ask, you know, how does that actually work? And to be honest with you, we're still trying to figure that out.
I can tell you how it feels.
Yeah,
for me.
Yeah.
You know, like, When I do acupuncture, I always think of it, it's like I've got all this information highway, right? And then certain parts of the highway are blocked. And what the acupuncture does, it goes into that highway. It sort of triggers that because I can feel the little movement, like the little thing that's in the meridian or, you know. But I think what it does for me is it literally unblocks that area, and it sort of allows it, in my naive way, to breathe again. How it occurs for me.
Well, some studies have shown that acupuncture stimulates the release of endorphins. Mm-hmm. Those are, you know, feel well hormones. Also the endocannabinoid system is apparently stimulated by acupuncture, but we still don't totally understand how it's working. The nervous system is probably involved, the hormone system. In Chinese medicine, we have a totally different way to actually explain what happens when we do acupuncture. It's a completely different concept, and it's very much based on energy.
Right.
You know, we call the vital force or energy in the body, we call it qi. Right. You've heard of it, of course.
Of course.
And then, you know, we look for places in the body we can sense that where it's stagnating.
Yes.
And so the main purpose of acupuncture is basically, like you're saying, you know, to release that stagnation.
Fire.
So that, you know, your energy actually flows.
Yes.
You know, you're in the flow.
Yes.
And you can feel the difference, mm-hmm. you know, whether we can explain it scientifically or not. I mean,
I don't care. As long as it works.
Exactly. Most people, when they feel better after their treatment, they agree, you know, something's happening.
Yeah.
They don't even really want to know.
I did, there's a Chinese doctor that I went to in Chinatown, and she gave me all these herbs and stuff, and you have to boil them and make it down into this thick goo, right? And it's quite disgusting.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, that's a great way to take Chinese herbs, but I tell you, it's a hard sell with most people, especially here in the city, for various reasons.
She gave me all these packets wrapped and wrapped.
And it stinks up the whole house.
And it smells
and
like stinky.
Yeah, you have to be really
into it. And then
you
cook it and it comes down to this one little tiny cup.
Right.
And you drink
it. It's pretty strong.
It works.
It's pretty strong.
I'm not kidding, because you give it to you for a series of days. It works. However, like most things, it wears off after a while.
Mm.
Do you get what I mean? It's like it stops working.
So here's something that's really special about Chinese herbal medicine.
Mm-hmm.
So we always do a very comprehensive history with our patients to really find out what we call, you know, is the root and the branch. We want to know, you know, what's bothering you, but we also want to know who you are, what your constitution is, what's going on in your life. That's what we call the root. And so when we diagnose you and then decide, you know, how we want to treat you herbally, we basically treat the whole person, not just the hot flashes, but also your constitution. So that's, you know, if you really get deep into that, then you can create a formula of herbs for that individual person that can really take them from A to B.
Right.
And then you modify it and it takes them from B to C. So it shouldn't really wear off. It should be modified as you're improving or as you get older and have different needs. And that, I mean, that takes certainly a lot of skill and experience, you know.
And it takes a lot of patience on the side of the receiving.
Yeah, it's not a magic cure, you know. It doesn't, I mean, you often find relief within just a couple of days already. You notice a change. That's sometimes amazing how quickly it works, especially when it's pretty acute. So, but on the, you know, on those herbs, you know, in roots that you get from the Chinese herbal pharmacy and take home and cook, I have good news for you. In modern practice, we actually most of the time use pre-cooked herbs that come in granules. They're measured out in a, you know, specialized herbal pharmacy. And all you have to do is measure it out and then add hot water.
Oh, and drink it like a tea.
And just drink it like a tea. And it doesn't actually taste that bad usually, especially those formulas that we use for menopause, not that bad. So it's much more convenient. It's much more consistent. Oftentimes, it's also more affordable.
Right.
So it's much easier, you know, in that format to get people to take it for a longer period of time and get the benefits from it.
So do you think that there will ever be, I mean, I know, like we said, it's not a disease, right? And each woman is different. And some people have some symptoms and some people have no symptoms and some people have a array of symptoms. Do you think that it, there will ever become a time where nobody has any symptoms?
Well, I would be out of work.
Oh, yeah. Well, I always say I want to put my doctor out of work.
Well, I don't think so. Okay. You know, the quick and dirty answer. But I think we're making progress understanding better what happens during menopause so we can really tailor our treatments more to the individual woman and her experience. And I think also by bringing, you know, the whole discussion around menopause out into the open and supporting each other more and, you know, talking with each other.
So what can we do? What else can we do to bring it out into the open?
Yeah, talk about it. What you're doing is a great start. I think, you know, we need to have these conversations, not just you and I, you know, we're both in our 50s, you know, but
I
also...
I can't believe it.
Can you believe
yes,
it?
Yesterday I was
16. But also, you know, with younger women, girls, you know, and also with the men in our lives, you know, everyone needs to
and
be,
our sons and all of that stuff.
Need to
human.
Be,
so, like the whole we need to know about what's happening. Do you think men have a menopause?
Yes, they do, and it's a lot more gradual than in women. But certainly, you know, hormone production in men, and that's mostly testosterone, also gradually declines with age.
That's why they get like breast and soft and all that kind of good stuff.
That is a factor, you know, but it can also be maybe a little bit of too much indulgence.
Yeah, that too. But you know what? Not for nothing. I have a friend who he said to me that he thought he was going through menopause because, and I've heard this from a couple of men actually, they feel like they're going through some kind of menopause because they're crying at things that they wouldn't ordinarily cry at. Right, they're crying at movies, or they're just feeling
more
extremely
emotionally
and extremely moved by certain things.
Yeah.
So I do think men go through a menopause. They just probably go for it differently, and they probably just sit in their little caves and, you know, do.
And I imagine that
thing.
They probably have even more trouble, you know, talking
expressing,
about it
yeah.
Honestly with each other and yeah.
So I
we're
think,
starting a good thing here now, Reena.
Right, 3 minutes. So I think that if we talk about it for ourselves, our men will talk about it.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, Christiane, I just want to thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much.
I would be more than happy to have you again. This is a very serious conversation.
Yeah.
And we have to think about the young people, the young women, you know, that we're going to leave behind. We want to leave them feeling good about themselves and feeling good about menopause.
I would like to say one thing.
For anyone
who's interested in learning more about an integrative, holistic approach to menopause, I would invite you to visit my blog on my website, serenityhealtharts.com. You can Google it or just go to the URL. And I recently posted a 3-part series on menopause, and it has a lot of useful information. I think I also, in the last article, have several tips for self-care, including spirituality. So it really covers the whole range.
Right.
Yeah, and if you have more questions, of course, you can always reach me through the website.
Right. Serenity, so give us the website again.
Serenity Health arts.com.
Great.
Thank you, Noreen.
Thank you so much for being on the show. And it's thank you to all the people that listened. And there's a bunch of men on it as well. So that's a really great. Thank you for joining. This is Noreen Sumter on Beyond Potential. Live life your way. If you'd like to have further conversations with me about coaching, reach me at NoreenSumterCoach.com. If you're interested in participating and coming on the show because you have something that you're burning to share, please reach me at Noreen at NoreenSumterCoach.com or www.talkradio.nyc. I'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
The best designs for your life start at home. I'm David Thiergartner, interior designer and host of At Home. Listen live Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Time as we talk to the very best professionals about interior design and the design that's all around us, right here on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.